Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Miles, we are thrilled to be joined by an acclaimed wildlife ecologist and conservationist who specializes in researching how human activity influences the behavior of wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
She's a TV host and the host of the PBS Nature podcast, Going Wild with Dr. Ray Wynn Grant, which makes sense because she is Dr. Ray Wynn Grant!
Dr. Ray!
I'm here.
Welcome back.
Thank you. My favorite place to be.
Oh, come on now.
We love having
so many memories.
Yeah. We loved having you last time. And we're like, now that we're talking to experts, let's talk to it. Let's really dig
into it. Talk to a real expert.
Let's spend some
time doing some research and like just, you know, really square up, make ourselves seem extremely smart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing. We put Miles and I put our brains together and have put together a list of some of the hardest hitting
science-based,
most deeply researched science-based questions in your area of expertise.
This is like my oral exams all over again.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is on, and it's going to be on the record.
Right. Yeah. The stakes are high.
Incredibly high.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get to that in a moment. But before we do, we still like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are or what you're up to?
Oh, well, I have something. I hope this can kind of be the great equalizer, perhaps, because I'm a scientist, right? I'm an environmental scientist, a wildlife ecologist. I have all this expertise.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, every so often, I have to Google like the simpler things just to make sure that I'm explaining it correctly. So 2 weeks ago, I was with a film crew. I'm filming a television show. It's called Wild Kingdom. It's great. You can watch it. Amazing. It's on NBC, streaming on Peacock.
Wow.
And I was with the crew.
Amazing.
And we were in
a
place. I mean, you gotta sneak it in.
Beautiful.
We were in Texas. We were in Central Texas in a place that has dinosaur footprints, right? Like this part of Central Texas used to be an ocean. And then at the point that there were these dinosaurs, it was like more of a swamp and they sunk their giant feet into the mud. And then it just like there was a drought and they just solidified and they're still there. It's amazing.
What?
So I'm talking to the crew about dinosaurs. This is just like rural Central Texas, too.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we got into the topic of fossil fuels. And one of the producers on the show didn't know where fossil fuels came from. Like, she didn't understand the word fossil. That's part of fossil fuels.
Right.
So fossil fuels are like, you know, the gas you put in your car is a type of fossil fuel, right?
Right.
Right.
It's what's contributing to climate change. And so I was explaining to her, like, girl, yeah, it's when dinosaurs lived and then they died, their bodies decomposed and sunk into the earth. But because it's been millions of years, those decomposed dinosaur bodies have liquefied because it's so hot down there and turned into essentially like oil that we drill up and use to put in our cars and use to, you know, power stuff. And we've, you know, contaminated the whole atmosphere because of it. And her mind was blown to the point that I started getting like a little bit concerned. I was like, am I lying about this? Is that right?
So the what we would sometimes call fossils, those slowly over a course of long decomposition became fuel?
So let me just say I was right. I mean, I had to Google it because I was like, I mean, I study living animals, not dead ones. But I mean, but that is accurate, right? So fossil fuels, like scientists throw that term around, politicians throw it around, but it's literally fossils. We have them because it's decomposed dinosaurs from under the earth. So like the gas you put in your car is dinosaur body gas that we drive and it combusts and, you know, makes
always
dinosaur go.
Body. Like it's not like plant body or something.
It's not plants. It's like it's decomposed animal matter. So it's like dinosaurs. It's like all those old crustaceans. And all, I mean, it's a bunch of stuff that used to live. One day humans will be that same liquefied substance and people could use us.
How come Wikipedia is
oil to
plants.
Oil?
Why does Wikipedia say it's plant? Are they
I
wrong?
I think it's like they might be, or I might be wrong, but I believe it's like if it's plants, it's from those like ancient oceans, right? That like
not like
you know
the grass
palm trees
that died.
And stuff.
Right. Yeah,
right.
It's like
so
ancient.
It's,
if
it's
anything,
all
yeah.
prehistoric from before there were people to take down the data of like how it all started and what decomposed. It's just like organic matter,
right?
But it's a lot of it is like really big animals, like dinosaurs that died.
Okay, so I have to
apologize. Using their bodies.
I have to apologize to the listeners. I've been calling fossil fuels dinosaur farts that we're just cooking dinosaur farts for our guests. So
cooking them, I always said. I said, yeah. What is that even?
Cooking farts.
Yeah.
We're cooking them to get our cars started. But it's the bodies, not the farts.
Don't even
I mean, I feel like that's like clickbaity enough. Like a lot of people, you know, you just hear this word over and over and you're just like, I guess that just means like dirty gases that go into the atmosphere. But it's like really, I mean, it was interesting to make the connection while looking at a dinosaur footprint and like marveling at it to be like, oh, I interact with dinosaurs all the time.
Right. Yeah. And you're also like, you will have your comeuppance, dinosaurs. You will help destroy our Earth.
You remain relevant.
Yeah.
Ash to ash, remain dinosaur relevant. Fart to dinosaur fart, as the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How I would have searched that, what you were just talking about, is how dinosaurs footprints Texas, because I only talk to Google in the dumbest phrases possible. Yeah. But
we were in Glen Rose, Texas. If you ever go there, you'll be astonished because there are legit huge dinosaur footprints. Like, and it's just there's just out in the community. It's just it's this rural part of Central Texas that is like, you know, kind of.
Oh, do they have like dinosaur statues there too and stuff?
They have big statues, like off the highway kind of statues. But it is the country. Like it is like. It is not urban. It is a wild place, but it's just very accessible. So let me just say, the dinosaur footprints are super accessible. You just like kind of walk upon them.
Really?
I'm looking at a picture from the Smithsonian Magazine, and it has the dinosaur footprints. And then to make sure you know that it's Texas, somebody just dropped a cowboy hat on top of them.
For scale?
Yeah.
For scale.
Got to do that.
There you go.
Yeah. Cowboy hat for scale.
Yeah.
How many cowboy hats tall are you, Jack? If we're doing the Texas measurement.
That's right. Joe, what's something you think is overrated?
Las Vegas.
Mm.
Overrated.
A lot of friends who Las Vegas is a destination. First time I went, I was like, I cannot believe how much of a scam this openly is. like they're really not hiding it. You know, they're selling the high roller lifestyle to people who can't afford it.
Right.
And those people are lapping it up like dogs. And it's really, it almost doesn't even feel like deception because it's all there. You can, all the information is there. You will go and you will lose a ton of money with the promise, with the very American promise that you could get rich
right.
buying into this system that is built specifically to take everything you have.
Yeah. 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 I love it. I love it.
Luck be a lady tonight. Hey,
you're not going to win with that attitude, Joey. Let me tell you something.
Let me tell you.
You got to lose 300 to make 300. You know what I mean?
You got to lose money to make money. You got to lose your child.
Out at 200, you never were in the game, pal.
You got to lose your children's entire college fund to make a children's college fund.
That's what every degenerate gambler told me at a blackjack table. And they're like, hey, you leaving already? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm broke. They're like, you got to lose. Like, you know, you got to lose
come on,
like, at
man.
Least 300 to start winning. I'm like, that sounds fucking wild, dude. Like, I was reckless even cashing in like $100 here.
Right. No, totally. And I'm also like really astounded by how not, I mean, like we were affecting that kind of rat packy voice, but you go into a casino and there's nothing classy about it. It's just like a bunch of flashing lights. Everything is like a giant iPhone, you know? It's,
yeah.
You don't
yeah.
even
giant iPhones that take your money.
Yes. Yeah. These like yeah. huge screens where at least, I don't know, maybe at one point there was a charm and you can still like pull a lever if you want, but most yeah. of it is digital.
Yeah.
And this just gaudy and not like you kind of want, I mean, I would want like, oh, let's get a little bit of velvet, a little of this. And maybe you can get that some places, but for the most part, it's all just really yellow and gross.
Yeah. yeah. I it's so funny. Like I used to go there a lot when I was younger, you know, cause I was mm-hmm. just kind of into like, you know, it was a lot of my friends are just into that. Like, let's go in Vegas, man.
Right.
And then I hadn't gone for a few years. And then Jack and I recently went over the summer to go see like the NBA Summer League. Yeah. And it was like surreal where like I was feeling like I was watching like an old part of myself die while I was there
yeah.
and also seeing like a new future for us. Like I was like, wait, these smells, like I used to be blacked out in these lobbies, mm-hmm. like not knowing what was going on. And now I'm like, it feels a little different.
Is it an underage drinking destination? Like when you live 3 hours from it? Cause like when I was in high school, I drove from Boston to Montreal. To drink.
Oh, to get fucked up? Wow.
yeah.
Nah, I mean,
that's how bad my drinking problem was.
It was just like, to Joe's point, like it was like I was on that Mirage shit where I'm like, let's go to Vegas now. I only have circus money. So like to stay there. So like
for
the
sure.
place I'm going to stay is so fucked up that I'm just going to be so fucked up that I don't have to go back to that room until like 4 a.m.
Right.
But at the same time, like I was always like feeling myself when I was there because I was putting so much like weight into like partying in Vegas and stuff.
Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, but you can drive a Lambo out there and shoot a fucking machine gun. So,
yeah,
you know,
so that's all that matters.
Got me right back.
That's all I want to do when I wake up in the morning. I wake up quaking with just a desire to shoot a machine gun out of the window of a Lambo
and drive by.
Yeah. Lambo.
Gabe, what's something you think is underrated?
All right. I'm very passionate about this. Because sushi is expensive everywhere.
Sure.
But there's a 24-hour grocery store next to my apartment that for like $6, you can get a sushi roll. And it is just powering my whole life.
Wow. Yeah.
So grocery store sushi, when it's good, underrated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you can get it, like there's a local market that I'm surprised sells sushi. Right. But it seems like they have a business where like this sushi company owns the refrigerator case that they're just asking the market to have in there. So yeah. I found out when they come drop the shit.
Oh.
And so the times I've gone for the drop and I'm like, oh yeah, this is great for fucking $7. Absolutely. Yeah.
I knew it was good when they started to use that health food store as like a sham restaurant on Grubhub where you can buy sushi and you don't know. I'm like, oh, they think they're a whole restaurant. Hell yeah.
yeah. I love outing a good ghost restaurant. That's always my favorite.
Remember during the pandemic, it was Chuck E. Cheese? They like changed the name. They were like Ray's Famous, and it was just a Chuck E. Cheese oven.
What the fuck?
Chris's Hot Chicken, and you just—it's like this is Denny's.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Yeah, there was a few different ones that everyone just was like,
Pasquale's. That's what it, the Chuck E. Cheese was. One was. Pasquale's, Pasquale's.
Yes.
Pizza wings.
Yes,
exactly.
Well done. Well done.
Pasquale. Yeah, man. That's but the other thing though too, if you got an Asian market nearby or like someone has like a good fishmonger, you could save money buying sashimi grade fish and just buy your own microwave rice and put a little bit of sushi, like buy yourself some sushi seasoning vinegar for your rice, do the microwave pack, and you could buy a fucking big ass piece of fresh salmon for fucking like $6-7 by my house. And I'm like, bro, just slice this up. Shit, fuck sugar There's, fish.
I love that TikTok guy, the sushi guy. He goes to Costco and buys a big piece of salmon and just turns it into sushi.
Oh, breaks it down?
Oh, okay. Hell yeah.
You got to do that.
I'd be afraid of the, you know, parasites.
Yeah, he explains all that.
He explains that they're in there.
You'll be good.
No, you just take pills for that. They eat the pills for the rest of your life.
Just take iodine. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. All right. We're going to take a break. Let's come back and we'll talk about the life and times of Donald Trump after this. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back.
We are.
And so we want to take this opportunity to check in with you, Dr. Grant, about how you, as a scientist, perceive some of the news that we cover on a regular basis and that is entering the zeitgeist on a regular basis. As the sign in my front yard will attest, in this house, we believe in science. Okay. No, but we do believe we don't think COVID was caused by 5G.
Okay, speak for yourself. Speak for yourself.
We don't think vaccines killed every celebrity who has died since 2019.
Since before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Since before the pandemic.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's a good solid take.
So I guess you'll be shocked to know Miles is not a scientist, but I am also not a scientist. How do you think about communicating as a scientist to non-scientists? Like, how strategic are you when communicating with those of us who May not. I'm not going to confirm that I don't have a PhD in the sciences.
Well, look, I think getting, I'm on Reddit r/science, so I think I have a good grasp on things. But yes, how would you, in a world of contentious information, what's it like? What do you do? How do you speak to
you know, I got to say that I work really hard at it, and I am also gifted with a type of science that I do that is highly visual. Right. Uh-huh. Like there are like chemists out there or people who study like microorganisms that it's harder for them to show the science as they're doing it. Right. Or might not be as interesting to look at. But I study large animals. I study large carnivores, bears and lions and mountain lions and wolves. And the science behind studying them might be very technical or like, you know, very mathy or very analytical. But kind of the basics of it are fun to look at. Mm. And highly engaging. So I get that benefit just automatically that like people might tune in. If I show like a hibernating bear, there's a huge science behind that, but the visual also speaks volumes.
Right.
So there's that. And then I also want to just shout out how identity plays a huge role into how I approach science communication. And I even think how I got into it, because as a, you know, I almost said a young Black woman, but I should correct that. As a millennial.
No, we're still young. We're still young.
That used to mean young. As a millennial Black woman, I always was a part of my community, right? Like my professional community was always so different from my personal, my you know, social community.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I was always telling stories about what I was doing to my community, which is predominantly Black women my own age, right? Or maybe their brothers and their husbands or their boyfriends or, you know, my family. And so because there was such a disconnect between like ecologists and the people I spend my free time with, without really trying, without being purposeful, I would talk a lot about what I do or where I had been or why I was going these places or the cool stuff that I found. And so I found that just naturally storytelling or just science communication became a thing. And then, of course, I was also like growing up, I was such a nerd. So imagine me in college. I went to college in Atlanta and there was this wonderful Black community. And I was the girl who was like obsessed with recycling, right? Like environmental health, like picking up litter. I was the recycling coordinator for my dorm, right? And so I was also that person, no matter what my identity was, that was like knocking on people's dorm rooms and being like, it's recycling day. Like, bring
you
me all
know.
Of your
right.
bottles of 99 bananas or whatever.
No, I'm collecting them. I put them up on my
gotta
cabinet.
Make a pyramid out of them.
Put it next to my Grey Goose bottles. So they know I at one point could afford Grey Goose.
I have class. So I think that in so many of the ways that I've been involved in science, there's been also a practice to it that you can see, right? You can see someone collecting recycling, right? But there's like a science behind why that's important and how it works. And you can see someone like hiking in the wilderness looking for a bear, and there's a science behind that. So, you know, I think that I might have been super challenged in other ways, but I've just had this amazing benefit of what I do or what I care about and how visual it is and how a person can kind of symbolize a lot of that. Yeah. And so I haven't struggled too much. You know, I do get the comments on Facebook. I recently got an email through my website about someone like kind of threatening me to tell a story the right way, right? It was really interesting.
What does that mean?
There's a bird called the Atwater Prairie Chicken in Central Texas. It's a highly endangered bird. It has this terrible name because the word chicken is in it.
Right.
But it's actually one of these like remarkable birds in the sage grouse family. So it has these like yellow cheeks that puff up really big, and they do like one of those mating dances that you'd see on all the natural history shows. It's like an incredible bird. And this guy sent an email and he was like, you better, like, if your show does a story on the Atwater Prairie Chicken, you better do it right, because so many other people have done it wrong. You know, it's one of those things where I was like, you don't even know what we're doing. You don't, you know, like there's no context here. But he was like threatening me, like little old me, about this prairie chicken, you know. And so it's just very interesting that I do get people who don't like my communication. You know, I do get people who have find problems in it, usually for no good reason.
Sure.
But I don't get a lot of deniers when it comes to what I'm communicating. And that is special.
To continue down this, because I think this is that's relevant, right? Because we're such in an era, too, where it's people are like, I got to see it to believe it for a lot of scientific stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they're like, I don't know how a vaccine works. Yeah. But then, like, then I remember, like, what was it? The CDC's like, here's a fucking video, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that.
It's fucking nonsense. But, like, for things that are measurable, right? And, like, for people, like, if seeing is believing a lot of the times, how, I guess, in that sense, how are you seeing climate change? Because this is another thing that people are like, it's cold today. Therefore, like, fine, shut up. But how are you seeing that sort of manifest in the physical world that of like these environments of the species that you study? Because that's one thing, like, obviously, you're not like an atmospheric scientist, but you very much do understand how climate is impacting animals. So in that sense, how are you seeing this play out? Like at that scale, because I'm sure that's indicative to like the sort of chain reaction that could happen with our environmental systems.
Right. And, you know, it's really interesting that you bring that up, because I kind of want to put this disclaimer out that climate change impacts wild animals tremendously in a way that's not OK. But I think that we need to solve the issues of climate change to help people. Mm-hmm. First, you know, there's a lot of people who like kind of care more about animals than people, or they might be more convinced to care if there's an animal story rather than a like, oh, people in this developing nation are suffering kind of story.
It's like, but do you see how they're how emaciated their dogs are?
Exactly. Right. No, like, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
What?
So I always want to point out, like, I live and breathe wild animals every day. I've dedicated my life to saving them and keeping them on this planet. And I think people are more important and more urgently need saving, right? Because climate change is devastating entire communities of people right now. With that said, bears, right? Bears are a perfect example. I've been studying bears for 13 years, and we're seeing how climate change is impacting all different kinds of bears. So one of the things that we love about bears as like Americans is that they hibernate in the winter. It gets cold and they go into their den and they hibernate. They sleep for, you know, 2, 4, 6 months at a time. Well, they actually need all kinds of environmental cues to enter hibernation, right? So it's not like they just like look at a calendar and say like, oh, my gosh, it's November 15th.
It's
like
the solstice.
Time to go. Right. It's like their ecosystem has to signal to them winter is coming. The temperature drops. Maybe precipitation increases. Maybe get some snow. Right. The trees stop producing food. The other animal species they eat, whether it's fish or deer, go away. Everyone is locking down and there's nothing to eat. That's when bears' chemical balance changes and hibernation starts. Their metabolism slows down, right? That's like body chemistry within them. But that's not going to work if it stays warm, right? If the trees keep producing, if the bunny rabbits keep hopping around, that doesn't happen. So in some of the places that I've studied black bears in the Western United States, there have been these winters recently where the temperature hasn't dropped and the snow hasn't fallen until like February. And so the bears have remained active. But then when February comes and in 1 week, it's, you know, 3 months of snow and everything shuts down, they're not hibernating already. Their bodies haven't gotten into that hibernation state. They might not be able to get there in time and they may starve or they may freeze to death or they may die, or they may come into your garage and look for a warm place and some food. So we're finding that climate change not only impacts like the bear's perception of what season it is and whether or not it's time to hibernate, but it could also increase conflicts with people, right? Because they kind of freak out. They're like, all I need is some food. It was available last week. It's not this week. So where can I find it? In your trash can. And that is also a problem.
It's got to be hard, just like on their natural, like if they're not getting the rest that they had in the past, right? Like that doesn't that affect them as well?
You know, it's
are they cranky?
they are cranky. Bears are a lot like us. They just are. They're hungry. They have they're hangry. I should say.
I need my 3 months of sleep in the winter.
They're like, hangry. Like as do I.
Yeah.
There are bears in warm places where they never hibernate. So there are bears in Florida.
Okay.
Right? Like in the Everglades, it's swampy, it's warm, and they don't hibernate in the winter. But let me clarify that setting up a hibernation den is the most important and the most critical for surviving periods where there's no food, right? So like classic winter when there's no food. And female bears give birth in hibernation. They need to set up a hibernation den. They need to slow down their metabolism. They need to go into a hibernation state in order to give birth. Because when they do, they give birth every January. Every bear that's ever lived in the history of North American bears has given birth in January. Every single one. It's the most, really? It's like my favorite fact.
Sorry, Dr. Ray, I'm going to have to fact check that.
Fact check it. No, go. Like you have my permission. They're born in January.
Let me call Tim Ferriss really quick.
Did they realize how much better they'd get at hockey if they were born a little bit later?
Oh, just slightly later.
Oh, wow. You're really going to Malcolm Gladwell, aren't you?
Yeah.
When I was doing my PhD research in the Lake Tahoe area on black bears, we would just give every bear a January 1st birthday. And it was more about, it was less about when they were born and more about what year, right? As opposed day or what month, just January. And so the mama bears, like have to stay in their den for, 16, 20 weeks because they give birth to these 1 pound, like hairless, kind of blind little cubs, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're little. Bears are huge, right? Bears are bigger than people and they give birth to these tiny little like fist-sized cubs.
Right.
Wow. I mean, I personally am jealous. Like, human beings should be able to do
not
that, right?
Ratio.
Like, we are smaller, and we give birth to these enormous babies, and it tears us apart. So bears, they have these, like, nice little births. The babies just slip out, right?
Yeah.
And then they just nurse from their moms in the protection of this hibernation den for a couple of months, like 2 or 3 months, and then they emerge from the den altogether. So the mama bear needs to prepare for hibernation by packing on the pounds, getting as fat as she possibly can in order to not eat, not drink, not urinate, not defecate, and just birth and nurse some babies for several months. And if the climate is not giving her that signal that it's time to do that, then she won't be ready.
And the, like, if you play it out to the worst possible outcome, it's that, like, the cycle gets disrupted to the point that the population just begin dwindling.
That's right. We just stop having births, like, successful births, right? So it's less about, sometimes people are worried about, like, hunting them, right? Like, outright killing of them. And it's more about, like, females of reproductive age, like, having successful births over and over. That's, if we don't have that, then we don't have a future of the species.
You said something really interesting earlier that I wanted to touch back on. They don't, and I was always curious about this, they don't poop or pee that whole time?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I always wondered how that, I don't know. I remember as a kid hearing that, I'm like, they got to poop a little bit, probably.
They're sleeping. Okay. So let me just say, because scientists are always going to give a good, like, it depends, right? So here's my scientist, it depends for accuracy. Uh-huh. There haven't been a lot of studies done on hibernating bears. You can imagine why. Right. Like it is very hard to study these animals. Right. Yeah.
Well, it seems so cozy in there. I would be all about that. If you need somebody to go in there.
You peeing? All right, cool. I'll be back in a couple hours.
Yeah.
Like it's like pretty dangerous and like they don't want to be bothered. And
sure.
lot of these things aren't very important. And then it's hard to study hibernation in captive bears, like at the zoo. Because again, their food source doesn't go away in the wintertime.
Right.
And so they often don't hibernate because they're like, I'm cool. I'm chilling. I have like a heater and a person who brings me food. So there aren't a lot of studies on this. But what we found is that in this metabolic state that they enter, they recycle all of their waste and urine. So that's why they don't drink anything. And the liquid in their body is being recycled like over and over. It's fascinating. And there's a lot that we can learn about human health and, biomedicine from studying hibernating bears. In fact, there are some hypotheses that their plasma changes. So we can detect the chemical changes down to the blood and the plasma level. And their organs are actually preserved because
just from recycling.
Molecular components of their plasma changes. I've had a researcher come to the field with me in Minnesota who was a cardiologist and was studying, human hearts. And the idea was that they wanted to take a blood sample from a hibernating bear, which we were able to do, not without drama, but we were able to do it. And they wanted to see if the blood of a hibernating bear could preserve human organs, because we need a way to make organ donors' organs last longer.
Because when there's an organ donor
and there's a recipient somewhere in a hospital waiting for a lung or a heart or a kidney, often the organ will die in transport because we don't have a good way to keep them alive. But apparently bear blood, hibernating bear blood, might be the thing we need to, like, if we can replicate it, to figure out how to preserve organs for double the amount of time so that more lives can be saved by organ donors.
Right.
That's incredible.
See, this is, and learning new stuff too. I'm going to start going poop and pee in the recycling can.
Yeah.
I was, right. I mean, that's what I'm saying.
That is, I think we got what you were saying.
Recycle your waste to live
longer. I mean, you know, talking about the vaccine and, you know, the, like, there is a lot of people who had some ideas about how you could recycle your own urine to help protect you from
Jack, why don't we?
I think you just endorsed that, right? So we can just move along.
Yeah, that's basically.
Let's get past the joke stuff, Jack. Why don't you want to ask a serious question?
Yeah. Okay. So, you wake up and you're a bear. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I have an answer to this that I'll give first, but, like, what's the first thing you're doing? Like, I personally feel like showing the other bears water slides would be high on my
list. They're going to love it.
I feel like bears would love water slides. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've seen a bear. Like, I've seen them enjoy a pool. Uh-huh. I've seen them enjoy hammocks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love a hammock.
But, like, a water slide park? Like, me and my bear friends go ride on water slide park?
Yeah, it sounds pretty fun.
What would yours be other than that? Obviously,
what would
that's
be
number
the
one.
First
I guess
thing
realistically, but,
yeah, sure.
That I do as a bear. I mean, you know, they're just so motivated by hunger, as am I. Mm-hmm. So I think the first thing I might do is, like, hit up, like, a buffet, you know, like what's a good buffet? I mean, Sizzler is classic, at least in my family.
Pizza Hut salad bar.
Oh, from the 90s. Yeah, yeah, Pizza Hut salad bar. I think Ruby Tuesdays used to have one. Yeah, okay,
Time machine. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, like a solid buffet, I think, would be what I do. But I might also, like, you know what's funny is that people talk to me about bears all the time, right? And so often they'll bring up, like, Yogi Bear, right? Mm. The cartoon. And they'll talk about, like, picnic baskets and, like, going for a picnic and all that kind of stuff. Yes. And I'm like, maybe that would be cute. Maybe if I woke up as a bear, I might be like, hey, let's actualize this. Let's, like, go for a picnic at a picnic table in a public park and blow people's minds. You know, like, let's just, like, screw with people and make this whole Yogi Bear story real.
Yeah.
And, you know, do that. Play the part.
I like that. Sorry, we're just furiously crossing off the 5 Yogi Bear questions that we have up next.
All right, never mind.
Not that one.
Those might come off as hack now. what's another one? Oh, okay. So to that point, right, about, you know, bears taking a pie off a windowsill and things like this. So we constantly read stories, or I'm constantly seeing stories of, like, you know, black bear shows up in a backyard and, you know, the species are increasing. The BBC over the summer was like, bears are returning to the Alps. Here's what you need to do to avoid, you know, having a horrible encounter. We're in how to stay safe in bear territory. Some things feel, and then other things I've read about how I think Louisiana may have a bear hunting season for the first time in a long time. Mm-hmm. And that, like, populations are rising to levels where before it seemed like it was pretty fraught with potential of, like, you know, extinction. Are these stories, like, are they part of a bigger picture? Are there people who are just looking at these bear communities being, like, trying to other the bears and make them feel like a threat and how we have to control them? Or is it something that has to be hunted? That's one thing I'm seeing constantly, aside from also locally, especially in, like, LA, people who live near the Angeles National Forest, increased anecdotes and, like, local news about bears like showing up. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious, from your perspective, is it, like, this is a good thing? Like, right? Mm-hmm. Like conservation's working and we're able to, like, help repopulate, or this is, or it's fine lines. Where are we
I've
at
got
with all the bear stories?
So much to say about this. I'm going to save the hunting stuff.
Okay.
Because I have a personal opinion about hunting and I have a professional opinion and they're different.
Okay.
But to answer your first question, I just want, here's a little anecdote. When I was in grad school, my advisor said to me, he had been studying carnivores for his whole professional career. And he said to me, when it comes to carnivores, people think there's either too few or too many. They right. never think there's the right number. Mm-hmm. And man, oh man, does that ring true? Because when bears are on the endangered species list, like people are like, save the bears. We love bears. We got to get more bears. Bring them back by any means necessary.
Right.
And once we get like a good number of bears around and they're like, oh, look, my ancestors used to live here. I'm going to come back to this space. All of a sudden, right, like people are ringing the alarm, like bears are everywhere. They've returned. Like, what are you going to do? They're eating your puppies. So that's like my thing. I would call on everyone listening to really think about like, where do you fit in this? Like, you do care about wild animals and you care when there's not enough of them. But when there's like plenty or when they're doing well and when you see them, does that mean there's too many or does that mean you're uncomfortable? Because I think that's a huge, huge difference. Because like on one hand, when it comes to black bears, like we've been doing conservation on them for several decades. It's been working pretty well and black bear populations are rebounding. But there's not like so many black bears, right? I mean,
right.
Considering how many there used to be before, like, you know, the colonization of North America, there's a fraction of that number here today, right? There's no right. habitat for them. I mean, like, you know, you look at New York City. New York City used to have bears before it was New York City, and now you're not going to find a bear anywhere near there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like San Francisco, Los Angeles, grizzly bears, like, walked in those spaces. You're not going to find grizzly bears in California. So I have such a strong like pushback on people who are like, there's so many, they're everywhere, they're in my backyard. Cause it's like, well, it's their backyard, actually. That's like, right, they're in right. their backyard. Like they're at their house. it's like they came first. Bears point. Existed in North America from what we can tell side. From like the evolutionary right. timeline. They were here before people, before indigenous people, before any human beings walked on the continent of North America, as far as we know. Black bears were here first. And so this is their land and we need them, right? Like they help to control the herbivore population, which helps control the vegetation community. And that gives us deeper roots in the soil and that prevents erosion. And that's a really big issue. I mean, there's a lot of reasons we need these predators.
Right.
Okay. The next thing I'll say is that COVID, man, oh man, COVID actually plays into this because when the world shut down and everyone had to start working from home in 2020, we started like noticing shit. Like people started like looking out their window and being like, oh my gosh, there's a coyote out there. Oh my gosh, right. have you seen how many raccoons are in the trash? Oh my gosh. The combination of people being home and being able to notice what happens in and around their home. And also like not going out at night, right? Like we're not going to the club. We're not like going to places. We're just like
we're on
around.
Bear watch.
Right. We're on bear watch. We can hear, we can notice people spending more time in wild places, right? Like when we were able to travel again in COVID, it was safer to be in nature than other places. And then technology, everyone has like a Ring camera, right? Like you used to have a doorbell and now you right. have a camera at your door. Everyone is able, and they have a camera at the front door, at the back door, all around the house.
Doorbells have cameras.
The Dang. Doorbells have cameras. Like, yeah. there's the so much monitoring. There's also, like, I'm flashing my iPhone at y'all because when I first started studying bears, we didn't have cameras with phones or phones with cameras. You know what I'm trying to say.
Like, yeah.
Camera
yeah.
phones. And now we do. So like the amount of bears that I can show that I'm working on today when I do field work is an order of magnitude bigger than before.
Yeah.
So anyone who interacts with a bear in 2023 can prove it, can show it,
right,
can
right.
put it on the internet, can spread this information. Whereas 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you just had the story to tell and it didn't get very far.
I didn't believe they existed. It was like Bigfoot to me. I didn't think they were real.
It was Yogi yeah. Bear. And yeah. that was,
I was like,
that was
no,
it.
That's a cartoon, you fools. And right. then sure enough,
and then I got attacked.
Come around.
then it was, sure enough, it was one of those real ones
so that it's like, I was talking to.
There's like this combination of things, right? There's just a right. combination of things. Like, yes, there are more bears. There's not very many more bears. Like, right, it's going well. It's going right. well. There's more coyotes. There's not that many more coyotes. There's more coyotes caught on your Nest camera. Right. right. That's what it is. Like, you just didn't know that coyotes were minding their own business on your property, you know, 5 years ago. But now you know, and now you have a feeling about it. Yeah. And so there are so many scientists, a lot of folks, especially I have to highlight, like UC Berkeley has this incredible lab, the Shell Lab, S-C-H-E-L-L, run by a Black man who's a wonderful wildlife ecologist. And they primarily study like urban carnivores, and they are actually using data from Nextdoor, you know, that terrible like app yeah. where people yeah. are racist.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. Like, what kind of data are they getting?
Yeah.
About
yeah.
How those people are selling stuff outside on the right. corner.
Oh my
again?
Gosh. So that like filter like out all of the discriminatory like posts on racism and right. anti-homeless rhetoric. Yeah. And you get people talking about animals. And they're actually using data from Nextdoor to kind of measure, like, are people reporting seeing wildlife more often than before? And the answer is yes. So we have, like, right. a few more animals, but a lot more reporting, a lot more discussions, a lot of people sharing it and seeing it. And I think that's good. I think it normalizes wildlife being around, but people got to like stop worrying that they're right. not going to be okay. Because it's like, when was the last time a coyote like killed somebody? Right. We don't have that. Like, that doesn't happen. A bear
or a dingo ate like, my baby, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's yeah. not like you're okay. Like, you're safe. You just might not feel comfortable.
Right. right. Yeah. I mean, it gets to your point about awareness. Like, the more I see it, the more I'm like, I actually see more videos of bear encounters where people like successfully are just like, who know what they're doing, and like the mm-hmm. bear leaves. Mm-hmm. And that's actually given me a little bit more of being like, okay, they're not out here to fucking eat our pies. You know, they're mm-hmm. just doing their thing. Mm-hmm. And if you happen to have an encounter, there is a way to exit without being like, get your fucking gun, Tom.
All this bear pie fear mongering is getting out of hand.
And it's unbearable, actually. Yep.
Okay, Miles.
We need to wage a campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. And I want to ask about bear videos just generally, because I think you've mentioned it a couple of times, but bear yeah. videos rule. They probably make your job a little bit easier.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
And we're back.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess October 16th, 2 days ago, was the 100th anniversary of the founding of the Walt Disney Company. Yeah!
Yeah, we did it.
Hell yeah! We yeah, did it.
Time folks. Passed.
Speaking of racist caricatures.
So, you know, it is good to see that there are people pushing back on this monoculture of Disney. Oh, wait, sorry. It's people who are like, it should be more racist.
Oh, right, right.
Daily Wire co-CEO Jeremy Boring, yes, the man behind this terrible entertainment platform, literally named Boring, kicked off a video announcing his new company called Bent Key with a rant about how Disney is trying to indoctrinate our kids, adding that while Disney still uses Walt's name, he's like on a nickname basis with Walt Disney, they have all but abandoned his legacy. Presumably meaning his legacy of racism and anti-Semitism. But they... Yeah,
come back so
they,
home, Walt.
Yeah. So they go on to announce a new app, which will feature licensed program and also original children's shows, including Chip Chilla.
That's a mouthful.
Yeah. So it's just Chip Chilla. It's about a... It's just a Bluey ripoff with chinchillas instead of dogs.
Fucking terrible Bluey ripoff.
Just yeah.
A terrible Bluey ripoff featuring the voice of Rob Schneider.
Yes.
You gotta have the canceled, the voice of the canceled to yes. power this kind of creative endeavor. And like it's wild when you look at this, the pictures of Chip Chilla are so, it's just like so blatant that it's a ripoff of Bluey. Don't they understand how kids' minds work as a kid? I rejected anything that I suspected of being not the genuine article. You know what I mean? If it's like,
oh, you were too good for GoBots?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you know, if my mom would be like, oh, we got that at home. And I'm like, right. We don't have that at home. It's in the store. The thing you have at home is like this other version. Or it's like, there's this other toy that's like the thing I like. It's like, it's not the thing. So I can't imagine there would be kids who are like seeing this and they're like, I want Bluey. Like,
right.
Unless you're able to start them off on this early, you know.
Don't you think the kids will inherently respond well to Chip Chilla's inherently more heteronormative household roles, where Rob Schneider's father character is a distinctly alpha father named Chum Chum?
Chip Chilla is also homeschooled because his family doesn't trust the school system.
I'm sure. Almost definitely.
When are those ones going to come out too? Like where it's like the teacher at school said I needed to get a shot to keep the other kids safe.
Right.
Like, inevitably. Right.
That's actually, I'm kind of, okay. So like I write for kids TV a lot.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I've seeing this new story, I'm obsessed with it. Like
sure,
part
right?
of me thinks like, oh yeah, this is insane. But part of me is also thinking like, what sort of crazy bullshit could I pitch to them to get them to buy? Like if I just pitched like Teenage Mutant Ninja Firearms, where instead of turning into turtles, they turn into guns.
Yeah, right.
Yes. They'd be like, sold, 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 sold. Or just like Garfield, but instead of hating Mondays, he hates being woke. That's why he's always napping. Or like instead of Thomas the Tank Engine, it's just like Thomas the Tank Cannon or something.
Yeah, right,
pro-military. Exactly. Would they be like, hell yeah, sign me up.
Thomas, yeah, Thomas the Crowd Disbursement Vehicle. Yeah. Oh no, the people are complaining. Go, Thomas.
He's the train that broke up that union protest with like machine guns on the back.
Yeah. Or he's the thing that like, yeah, crashed in like East Palestine, that horrible train derailment. It's like they're mischaracterizing me.
Wait, can I pitch y'all my dream Daily Wire project?
Yes.
Please.
Okay, so it's about a vampire who instead of drinking your blood with fangs, he injects vaccines into you with fangs. His name is Vacula.
Oh,
Vaccine Dracula. I think that it stars Scott Baio, canceled actor Scott Baio, is like
a cop who got canceled just for doing what's right or something like that.
Exactly.
I think that it's like, revealed halfway through the vacula is Hunter Biden, and also Joe Biden's a villain too.
Okay. Yes, of course.
And there's definitely going to be a line of dialogue in this movie where the Scott Baio canceled cop is holding a shotgun and a scientist is telling him, like, you just got to trust the science on this. Why don't you just like look at our research and appreciate it? And then Scott Baio will say, I do my own research, and then cock a shotgun.
Yes.
Whoa, hell yeah. Like,
yeah.
Now, is there room for Dean Cain and Kevin Sorbo in this?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, there's got to be a lot of, there's going to be a lot of heroes in this movie.
Yeah, right. James Woods.
Daily Wire, if you're listening to this, hit me up. I think we could have, you know, Rob Schneider could play Vacula. Or like, who's that former SNL guy who's like, who was Goat Boy
Jim
on
Brewer?
SNL? Yeah, Jim Brewer could be Vacula. It'd be great.
He would be.
He's
good,
a mess, dude. Have you seen his stand-up recently?
Oh, it's insane.
It's fucking, it's morbidly bad.
Yeah.
Like, it's like not even, it's bad to a point where you're like, if that movie, The Wrestler, were about a stand-up, like, it's like, we're seeing that version. Like, Mickey Rourke is just like a down and out. Like, it's just, it's so, it's so distressing.
But what's, okay, so what's wild about it is the stand-up, the jokes are bad. But he's performing largely in front of churches and like very right wing friendly audiences.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the audience, it's like they're watching like Eddie Murphy's Raw. Like it's just they're like eating it up.
Right.
It's because like all, he does like this thing where he'll be like, and then you got like these Democrats, the Democrats.
Yeah, yeah.
We're like, like he just does, he's like just over the top, like just like guttural sounds and stuff. You're like, exactly.
Yeah, he's
that's
like,
what they're saying.
Yeah, I think there's something where it's just like the Democrats sound like parakeets. They're always like, trust the science, macaw, or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
It's like,
that's his closer.
Yeah. Right. Jeez. Thank you so much. I'm Jim Brewer. All right. Thanks,
you could hear me on an upcoming episode of Chip Chilla playing a racist cop.
Yeah.
Who's actually saves the day, it turns out.
Yeah.
He's got some interesting things to say.
Yeah, about. Racist cop who has some real truths he's saying or whatever.
But they're also doing like live action, right? Like on this bent platform.
They've got one Kid Explorer, a show called Kid Explorer. That appears to be like a recruitment tool for the U.S. military.
They all appear to be a recruitment tool for the U.S. military.
Yeah, right. Yeah, even Chip Chilla is about being like, hey, and if you're too weak-bodied, we can still use you in like a drone operating trailer. Who knows, you know?
There's also apparently the other Daily Wire movies they released. They came up with a movie called Terror on the Prairie in 2022.
Yeah,
and part of me is like, part of me wants to watch the trailer. And then another part of me is like, oh, I know that's going to be racist.
That's going to be so racist.
Terror on the Prairie sounds like it could be something that's poignant.
Right.
But it's just going to go the other way.
Yeah. It did go the other way also in terms of box office. It made a total of $804. At the box office.
I'm just saying, if they
I
would green light,
fucking hurt my throat laughing like that. I'm sorry.
I'm just saying, if they would green light Vacula, that would make twice that.
Oh yeah, Vacula would kill. By the way, it does reflect our like we've talked before about something in my childhood made me think that Dracula had hollow fangs that sucked the blood through the fangs.
Oh yeah,
yeah, hollow like fang, yeah, like yeah. A like yeah, like a reverse cobra or something.
Yeah, and. I don't think that was an assumption made by everyone, but
no, we kind of mentioned
Dracula
it on the show.
Proves it. Yeah.
Or we're team hollow. We've been hollow fans.
We're team hollow fans.
Yeah. I'm team hollow. I'm on board for that.
All right, cool.
Like, yeah. Update the Rhesus commercial. So there's like two holes, you know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
So you can see.
Oh, there were, track. I think Rhesus is hollow, Rhesus team hollow fang? Fang. Yeah, I think so.
Okay. But I'm just saying, what if instead of having hollow fangs, he had fangs that had little syringes that came out of them?
Yeah, ooh. Absolutely.
Look, I'm hard selling Vacula.
Those fangs go two ways.
Yeah.
Oh, I think we're saying the logic of the Rhesus being team hollow fang wasn't because of the indents, but because what the indents represented was they sipped out all the peanut butter.
Yeah, sucked all the peanut butter.
I was talking about like how you represent... It doesn't matter because I don't understand geometry.
Okay, so like, I guess okay. That. So my bump there is that I'm also very much team hollow fang, but like blood is a liquid. I feel like if you drank peanut butter like you drank blood, you'd like choke, right?
Total mess. Yeah.
Oh yeah. It would just clog up your fangs.
Yeah, it'd clog up your fangs, yeah.
The dentist would be like, oh, man, you doing the peanut butter thing again? I told you, it's hard to get out.
Also, yeah. I feel like that would be like a real pain to clean inside your fangs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Nobody said this Dracula stuff was going to be easy, man. It's
yeah, you're right.
It's a mess.
You've been turned by him. You're like, what the fuck, man? Like, the maintenance and shit on the fangs? You never told me. It's like, hey, man.
No, yeah, I got to buy. Yeah.
It was easy.
Yeah, I got
that's what that song was about.
As you're sadly cleaning your fangs with pipe cleaners.
Like, tiny little pipe cleaners going in the points of your fangs.
New Explorer, though, these images from the New Explorer show are fucking, like, you can already tell, right? Like, there's a kid in, like, a fucking bomber jacket in front of, like, an
aviators
F-16.
In front of an F-16.
Man, this is how we make it rain. And then another one that seems like a Revolutionary War soldier, but with a Thompson gun. I don't know what they're going to say here. I don't know what kind of cool stuff they're going to be saying.
His facial expression suggests he's in the middle of murdering someone. The Revolutionary War kid is like...
It has the feeling of like a 90s toy commercial.
Yes.
Where it's like, fight the redcoats. Yeah! like that kind of shit.
Yeah, they're also, on that note, they're making a rival Snow White movie where, get this, Snow White's played by a white woman.
Oh, yes.
Hell
that's
yeah.
That's the big change.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. They've been really upset about the Snow... Like, it seems like the Snow White thing is the whole impetus behind this.
Right.
They've been so mad that... The star of Disney's actual Snow White, which they might have to change the title to Disney's actual Snow White, Rachel Zegler, had the gall to call the original movie dated. It came out in 1937. I actually rewatched it for the Bechdel cast, and it's not just it is like the most profoundly sexist. Like, if you do a close reading of the movie, like what it's saying about Snow White.
It's like if you kiss a lady while she's asleep, she has to love you.
Yes. And if she only, like, every time she does something, she is putting herself in she's just like dizzily wandering into life-threatening situations the entire movie. She like runs away from the hunter and like runs into the woods and passes out and is like surrounded by a bunch of wild animals. And the only reason the wild animals don't like eat her is because she's like really pretty when she's asleep. And then she also almost gets murdered. She like breaks into the Seven Dwarfs home and like falls asleep in their bed. They almost murder her with a pickaxe. She rolls over in her sleep and they're like, oh, she's so pretty. And then like when she eats a poisoned apple, like that is clearly put, like the person giving it to her is like,
it was given it to you by a talking snake.
Exactly. And then the only thing that saves her there is, again, when she's asleep, like she has to be asleep for good things to happen.
Be beautiful and passive to succeed.
Be beautiful and passed out. Is literally the message of the fucked.
So what do you think the message will be with this one, huh?
Probably the same. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know if they could even do it, but I'm sure they could. Like, it feels like they'll find
a way
to make
it. We're updating
it
for modern times. You're like, are you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Daily Wire will find a way.
Yes.
They'll find,
as they always do.
Yeah. The teaser trailer suggests the movie has not been shot yet, but does reveal that they cast a white actress as Snow White and also have access to stock footage of a national park.
Okay. But, that's something.
But yeah, their movies up to this point have averaged $236,000 at the worldwide box office.
Oh.
And these are movies produced by Ben Shapiro, person who like went to see Barbie on opening day and like created like 7 hours of content just railing about like how evil
he destroys Barbie for 3 hours or whatever that video is called.
Yeah. Right. And it tanked the box office for Barbie, but nobody went to see it after.
Yeah.
He
really got his way.
So
that is really funny. Like how heavily the Go Woke, Go Broke brigade was like really attacking the Barbie movie only for it to make make $1.5 billion of profit.
Like just the most successful movie.
Yeah.
Yep, go broke.
Too bad they went broke.
Uh-huh. Ours That's why you really want to be shooting for around 230K.
Yeah, yeah, that's the real.
Or like $800 over five weeks.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, okay, it made $200 billion, but did it make $800? Checkmate, yeah. Woke exactly. Brigade.
They have been defending the movie's performance by being like, we didn't even like put it out in wide release. Like they wouldn't have if they could have.
Yeah.
Like that was a choice that they made. Actually, we don't even want people to see this movie.
That's like the whole point, dude. And that's why you don't get it. That's why you're like a part of the mainstream, like fucking echo chamber, bro. Get out of here.
But no, legit. Like, that's something that I'm kind of thinking about with like all of this stuff is like, specifically Daily Wire stuff is like, is this just Ben Shapiro trying to steal money from VC funders? Like, cause.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's like, this feels like a tax scheme.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Man, damn. Took huge losses on all those movies.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Yeah, like what are the budgets? Because that's where you're really going to see the magic in the accounting happen.
Right.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.